Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you as we have this pioneering heart to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We are on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you. Father, we just, as we come to your word, we thank you for transformation and renewal. May all our hearts receive from you. We just understand as your word comes, it brings freedom and it brings liberty. And I pray that for every one of us this morning now, in Jesus' name. I'm continuing with the series that we're looking at, contending for the New Testament church. But you know, I was just thinking, how do I intro this next section? We want to be looking at God's grace and what does it actually mean and how does it actually work. And I don't know, when you read a good book, sometimes I'm tempted to go to the back and see the end. Do you do that? Hey? Okay, Lynette does that too. So sometimes I read the end, then I know the plot's gone, but I now can get into the thing. And sometimes I think when you read your Bible, you need to read the end before you read the beginning. Because when the world started and how God created and he worked with man, it was the start. But God had a plan for the end. And the outworking is understanding what Jesus actually did on the cross. That is the beginning of the end and the outworking of what we're experiencing today. And I really do believe as we understanding God's doing something in our hearts and dealing in the life of the church, understanding what is this New Testament church. And just a quick reminder, what we've been covering, the Lord spoke about bringing a new wineskin with new wine, and that wineskin was his body, the church of Jesus Christ, and he was the new wine. And then it also was the contending, a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. You can never know enough of who the Lord is. Paul even prayed after 30 years walking with the Lord with that incredible understanding of the gospel, but he still prayed, I want to know him. And it is something because he is God Almighty. Jesus is God Almighty, and to know him takes the revelation by the Holy Spirit, and God wants to do that. So we did some of the things just quickly. We looked at Jesus as the head of the church and the king of his kingdom, understanding of living in Christ, our foundation of the love of God, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, understanding good biblical leadership in the structure of his church. And then we mentioned that the New Testament church has constant salvations, immediate baptisms, and understanding true discipleship of how the church actually works through devoted to the word, in fellowship, and working, breaking of bread, and prayer. And then we worked on a whole aspect of understanding what it is to have corporate prayer. But today I want to be talking about the grace of God. I think this has been misconstrued by many in the life of the church, and many do not understand it, and people move away from it. People have taken it and abused it. But I want to work it from understanding how God has actually worked with man. We understand history is very important. I love reading history. I didn't study it at school, but when you understand history, but not history of just of the world, but the history of how God, and you know what history stands for? His story. I don't know if you understand that, what it is, and how God has worked with man from Adam and Eve, and how he's worked all the way through to bring fulfillment in Christ, and how he's working with us today. And that whole transformation, that God is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. But the way he deals with him, with you and I, he's created you as individuals, he's created you unique, and the way he deals with you is very different to the way he deals with me, but yet he brings the same gospel in those things, and how God has worked through the dispensation of time as he revealed himself. You see, it's a continual revelation of who God is, a continual revelation of Christ. He was there from the very beginning as he revealed right through the scriptures, and initially how he brought the Old Testament, the Mosaic law, and then Jesus came to fulfill the Mosaic law and brought the new covenant and understanding that. So we've got to understand this transformation. And the ending of this topic is transformation from living the law to living grace. And we're no longer under the law. And the law, if I just explain to you, the law was the Mosaic law that was given. Nothing wrong with it. It's our schoolmaster. It's to teach us who God is and how we expected to live. But all of us have failed. Ever failed a test? None of you failed. It's a terrible feeling when you get that mark and it's in red. And you can see you got 0 out of 20. I didn't do that bad, but when you do get that. But when you see you fail, you feel, oh. But you know, we've all failed before God. Because the Mosaic law put the standard before us and said, this is what God intended for us to do, and none of us can do it. But thank God for Jesus, because he knew none of us could actually fulfill the Mosaic law, and he came, and the Bible tells us very clearly that Jesus came to fulfill the law. Why could he fulfill the law? Because he was God, and he could fulfill it on our behalf. And he did everything that the Old Testament required, and even more. He gave, and he went and he died, and he paid the price for sin. And not only that, did he not only pay the price for sin, but he provided eternal life and in him. And I want to expand upon that and the beauty of that. So the beauty of what he did, the completed work, and you see, we've always got, you know, where Paul says, I preach Christ and him crucified. He always goes back to understanding what took place at the cross. We mustn't live at the cross. But we must understand what Jesus accomplished at the cross. It's not the physical cross that's gone somewhere. It's not the physical cross. It's the work. And you know, when we misunderstand sometimes when Jesus said it is finished. Yes, it's finished that he paid the price, but it's also finished that he completed what God expected him to do. And our provision of eternal life and what he's given us has been completed. So we've got a reference to the cross. And see, and we've got to thank God and we've got to praise him, because we will never be able to pay him for all that he's done for us. It's an impossibility. We have to say thank you, and we have to believe what he's done, then he's completed, and what he's provided for us. And this is the beauty of what Jesus provided at that time. Not as man, but as God, he paid the price that he died for us. He gave us new life. And that's why the Bible says to us, God wants to change us and make us into a place that we can live this life that we live. That's why he says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, looking with his natural eyes and understanding, he says, but how can I be born again? And Jesus says, you must be born again. Because this is the work of when we believe. God needs to change our old spirits that were destined to sin and continue to sin, and had to give us a new spirit, and he puts a new spirit in us. And that's what happens when you're born again. And you know, we use the phrase and we call ourselves born again Christians. I don't know if that's right, but we are born again. We are born from above. And what happens, and this is the miracle of the finished work of the cross. And I've explained it to you before, but sometimes you need to understand this again. You know, we did with Quentin and that, we did that work for a living. And Ina Richards, who's been heading up that program to bring lost people and poor people to get employed, she said the biggest problem with people is their mindsets. It's their understanding. Wrong thinking, wrong believing, wrong speaking. Same problem with us. We come into the church, we've come out of the world, and we've got to change our minds. And the Bible says this, we need to have the mind of Christ. And that's a process that God's got to renew our minds through revelation, through the Word of God. And he comes and he brings us, and he needs to bring us to understanding what he completed on the cross and what he starts to do in us. And this life, the Bible says this, that we become born again when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The miracle, and I want to say it really is a miracle, Christ himself comes by the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. I don't know if you realize that. It's, you know, for me, been following the Lord for many years, and when I had to come and stand in the pulpit and I had to preach this truth, if you really understand that the living God, the Almighty God, even though He's at the right hand of the Father, He comes by His Spirit and He dwells inside of us. And that takes faith for us to believe that. And when we get to an understanding of this is this transformation that we need to understand, because when we understand what has actually happened to us, when we believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came to live inside of us, we've got some undoing to do with our thinking to move us away from thinking under the law. Now, our understanding, we've grown up in schools. Every single one of us have grown up in a school, and you are measured by what you do. Am I right? We write the tests, and when you do well, and if you get 80%, well, you did well. But when it comes to Christ, your doing is actually meaningless. Do you know that? Because what you give to Him, in a sense in the flesh, is rags. He doesn't want anything of you. He wants you to die, and He wants to live in you and through you. And that for me was an incredible revelation, Galatians 2:20. I know I'm running all over the place, please, I'm really sorry. But the revelation that the Lord who lives inside of you wants to be joined with you and is joined with you, but wants to partner with you, and He wants to live His life in and through you. And listen to my words when I'm saying, as you. Isn't that incredible? This miracle, I would never invent this plan. I think it's an incredible thing. Only God can do that. That I can't see him physically in any way, but He's inside every one of you. And He says, I'm in you, and I want to live in you, and I want to live through you, and I want to live with you, and I want to live through you. You know, you've got to get your mind around this thing. How can the living God Almighty come and live inside my spirit and actually want to dwell in me? And John tells us that God wants to come and live inside of us. He wants to make His home with us. But you know what actually happens? We don't have a revelation of that. And what do we start to live? We, instead of living, letting Him live His life through us, we start to do stuff to please Him. We try and say, well, I won't sin, and I won't lie, and I won't do this, and I won't do that. And we do through, in a sense, we call religious service, and we think we're pleasing Him. But the only person that actually can please God is Christ in you. Do you know that when God looks at you and He looks at me, He sees you and He knows the very hairs on your head, and you are precious to Him, but He actually sees the Christ in you, because Christ is the only one that is pleasing to Him, but you are in Christ. Isn't that incredible? And when we get a revelation of that, that this living God dwells within us, and He says, I've given you eternal life, but I want to live my life in and through you. And this was a transformation because it's the grace of God. You know, when Paul had some of those real issues of the thorn in the flesh, and we don't know what it is, but there were many things that came to him, but the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul got a real understanding of that when he got to that place, and he said, okay, what does this actually mean? God wants to do it through me. So when I'm weak, then He is strong. And I'm running all over the place. I'm not even reading my notes. He's speaking. I went away the week before to spend some time with the Lord, and I read that book, The Hiding Place, by Corrie Ten Boom, and how God used her and their family to save the Jewish people during the Second World War, and as they were persecuted. But she was caught. Why? God knows why. She landed up in prison in Holland, and terrible conditions, and landed up with her sister in Ravensbrück in a concentration camp. Terrible, terrible, terrible situation. And how they treated the women, the experiments they did on them, and it, absolutely awful, but yet they ministered God's grace and God did miracles in and through them. And she was led out of Ravensbrück just before Armistice Day, and the Lord released her. They said it was a clerical error when she found out that she should have died in the gas chambers. But she went around the world preaching Christ after the testimony of what she did. And you read some of those things, incredible what God did. But she landed up after the war going to Munich, to a church in Munich. And at the meeting, after the meeting, this man walked up to her. He was the SS soldier that abused them and treated them so unfairly in Ravensbrück. And this man came up to her and he said, extended his hand, "I'm a changed person. I haven't got the words correctly, but I've accepted Christ into my life. Will you forgive me?" She says in herself, "Never will I ever forgive him for what he did. At his hands, my sister perished. I've seen the misery." But she said, "Lord, you've got to help me." But in obedience to the Lord, she put her hand out. Not her, but the Lord in her put her hand out. She grabbed the hand out and she opened her mouth and the Lord spoke through and said, "I forgive you." And in that moment, there was like liquid love that flowed through her, that it was Christ himself that forgave through her. And we don't realize that SS soldier, we know from the day of on the road to Damascus with Paul, Paul's at rest by the Lord. The Lord said to Paul, "You are persecuting me, not these people. You're persecuting me." So in Ravensbrück, these SS soldiers were actually persecuting Christ in that time. But what I want to say to you is that in her weakness, when she couldn't do anything, God did it himself through her and forgave that SS soldier for what he did. And I want to say to you is the life that you have called to live, you cannot do it in your own strength. You cannot do it. I bring good news to you. This grace of God is this Christ that has come to live inside of you, wants to live his life through you. The Jesus that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago is resident within you. But you can lock him away. You can make him dormant. You can put the seal on and say, "No. I will live my life and I will please God by my doing," and you lock Christ away. And you can do that. This is the goodness of God. But by faith, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, by faith, Christ can dwell in your heart by faith. And yes, we've got to undo some of our thinking, but allow the Lord Jesus to actually live his life through you. And you know, there are so many things. Your lives have so many variations to it. But God wants to live his life through you. And for me, this is such a liberating thing because we're no longer under the law. You're no longer under the Ten Commandments. You're under the new covenant, which is Christ. And my understanding from the scriptures, whenever you see the word grace in the scriptures, put Christ there. Because grace is a person. It's not a methodology. It's not a formula. It's not what something you can do. It's a person. And it's person Christ. And that's why when the Bible tells us to fellowship, is to fellowship with one another, because he wants to teach us to fellowship with him. And as we live life out of a place of relationship and a depth of intimacy with him through fellowship, and he lives his life. You know, this is so simple that the youngest child can understand it. But if your mind and your way of you've lived and the patterns that you've learned get in the way of this thing, you will stop the living Christ living through you. And as this, we prayed for the change. I think there's a veil over all our lives to get into a place. How do we get to this place that we actually live in Christ and we live with Christ? Galatians chapter 5 says we need to live in the Spirit. And this is not something to contend for. I was sitting in Bujumbura and the guy said to me, "How do I live in the Spirit?" Because it is a tough question. How do you live in the Spirit? By faith. You declare, "I'm living in the Spirit." You declare Christ dwells in your heart. You declare that he lives his life through me. That you declare that Christ is my life. And when you start to declare that, it becomes your reality. There I've got the Sianis declaring the word of God. It's a reality. And you see, God actually does it. So I really just want to set you free in all this thing, to understand this thing. There's a quote here. What you live is not your life. I'll say that again. What you live is not your life. But what you live as a believer is Christ in you, as you. That's your life. Because otherwise you live in existence. And you live to please God through what you do. The only way you can please the Lord, and the only way you can do is when the Lord actually lives his life in and through you. And for me, Galatians 2:20, for I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And you know, when you go and read the scriptures, I've got so many here, but the early church on the day of Pentecost, the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. But the revelation of what I'm sharing with you never came to the church immediately. I don't know why the Lord didn't do that, but he didn't. Paul was the one that God actually used to reveal this truth. Paul had to be arrested by the Lord on the road to Damascus. But Peter gave the first sermon, and he referenced to the Old Testament. And in some ways, they spoke about the resurrection of Christ and believing upon Christ. But it was only Paul that God brought this incredible revelation. It says in Galatians that God was pleased to reveal his Son in me. And you'll see right through the epistles of Paul, he will talk about Christ and the living Christ inside. And there's a revelation that he never got to a place where he spoke about the law. He spoke about living in Christ. Now, the law is there to teach us what we miss, to lead us to Christ. And we need to get to a place where we allow Christ to actually live in us. You see, in Colossians, Paul actually says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And out of that, there becomes a flow. But what I want to help you, because I think there's some very practical things in the outworking of Christ living in you. Do you believe in sinless perfection? What I mean by that, do you believe that we come to Christ and we never sin? I don't believe in it. I believe that in Christ, you have been forgiven of your sin and the penalty of death doesn't live upon you anymore. That you're not going to hell, your destiny is heaven. Your destiny is with God forever. But as we live and come to Christ, our spirits have been renewed, our minds need to be renewed, but your body is destined for decay. Do you know that? But in your body, unfortunately, this physical body, I can't explain it to you, I don't understand the psychology or physiology about the thing. The lusts of the flesh, the Bible talks about the body as the flesh. The lusts of the flesh are very real. We're all tempted in every way. It comes to our sexuality, it comes to our speaking, the things that we do, the flesh gets in the way. And we fall. You and I. I'm sitting here as a pastor, I fall too. But thank God for Jesus. And what I want to just say to you, the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we deceive ourselves and we say we don't sin. You're no longer a sinner, but you still can sin. You can fall short of God's glory and you can lose what God wants for you. But thank God for 1 John 1 verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our hearts. So what do we do when the lust of the flesh and we do something gets in the way? And this is what I really want to help you with, is that you come before the Lord and you confess your sin. Confession, you declare it. This is not the Catholic way. You go to the priest, you go to God. And you confess your sin to him, and he forgives you. Not only does he forgive you, he cleanses you. He gets that soap out, and only what he can do through his blood, he can cleanse you from all, hear what the word scripture says, all unrighteousness. So if you've got a guilty conscience, you haven't allowed God to wash you and to cleanse you. We don't have shame and we don't have guilt. Even in those times, immediately that comes, the devil comes and says to you, oh, look at you, and you this and you that. But when you come, you confess to God, he comes and cleanses you and brings you to a freedom and a liberty. But what I want to say to you is my understanding is Christ comes into where the Old Testament spoke about repent. What I understand about repentance, now, repentance I think is misconstrued. The Old Testament view of repentance was a sin issue. I think a New Testament repentance is a change of your mind. It changes your attitude. Like when you fall into your sin and you do something, the repentance is to have the wisdom when and to prevent that thing from taking a place and to change it with the renewing of God's word. So when you fall, be wise enough to change your attitude and your mind, because that's where repentance goes, because it's the renewal of our minds brings us to the mind of Christ. If you continue to fall into that thing again and again, even with, can I say, with foul mouth, with addictions, all these things, if you want to break that thing, confess it before God, but then change your mind. You have the responsibility. God's not going to change your mind. You've got to say no to those things and allow the Word of God. And when you change your mind, it liberates you. We run into psychologists, we run into medication to do things, and God has given us the answer here. Deal with the issue. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse you so you've got a clean slate, but actually get your mind renewed. And when you get your mind renewed of the truth of God's word, you will find the freedom. Then what I want to say to you, now you've dealt with that, you got your mind right, but then allow this Christ, the living God within you who has given you his life. You don't have life. He's given you none. Now let his life, allow him to express himself through you. And how does Christ express himself through you? This wonderful member that sits in the front of your mouth here, called your mouth and your tongue, that's what liberates you. Yes, your actions will follow what you believe and what you think, but when you start to speak life, I'm no longer under the authority of Satan. I'm no longer under the authority of alcohol. I'm no under the authority of nicotine. I'm no longer under the authority of drugs. I'm no longer under the sexual lust. Not blaming the devil for everything. You setting yourself free. And you'll be transformed. And let me tell you, the Christ in you, the living God, as he created the heavens and the earth, he said, let there be light. As you start to declare those things, life comes. That's the creative power you have. And you have, this is yours. It doesn't belong to the doctor. It doesn't belong to the psychologist. It belongs to you. And you are in charge, can I say, of your destiny. And if you don't do that, I can't help you. We can run to the psychologist. We can take medication. It's not wrong with those things. But God's given us an answer here. The greatest resource that you'll ever have is the Christ within you. You know, we have dug for gold in South Africa, and we've got some of the deepest mines in the world. I think it's Kloof. It's something like, I don't want to lie, but I think it's close to 4 kilometers under the ground. That's how they've dug for gold. Have you ever dug inside of you to find this Christ? Have you delved in to know this Christ and what he's given you and how to live this life that he's given you? Yes, it's a transformation through the scriptures, and I'm not giving you a methodology and I'm not giving you a formula. I've given you a person. This is the grace of God, and he wants to change you. And if you stay where you are, that's a choice. The Lord was speaking to me this morning when I was having a quiet time with him. He said, I put before you life and death. Choose life. And who's the author of life? Christ himself. I am the life, the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. But no one comes to the Father but by me. And this life is within you. Jesus is our life. And I want you to walk this journey not in condemnation in the law. I've got a lot to say about religion. Religion puts us under bondage. It puts us with chains on. It puts us into doer mentality. I want to get you to a place of faith of the living Christ within you, that you live a transformed life by renewing your mind and speaking life over your circumstances and walk in freedom. Much of the church today is under the law. You see, this puts an incredible challenge upon me as I lead you as people, because I can put the law on you now and I can say to you, why are you not at the prayer meeting? And you feel guilty, don't you? That's the law. But if I say to you, We love you and Christ in you. Are you listening to him? What is he telling you to do? Because he's a living person and he's the Lord. What is he telling you to? Not me. I'm telling you this is the vehicle that God's put in the scripture, what we do. But have you asked the living God within you, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because you remember, you work together. And when you obey him, I rejoice. If he says to you, don't go to the prayer meeting, then don't go. And who am I to challenge that? I'm not. But if he says to you, and this is not just, no, this is not about prayer meeting, this is about life. If you obey him, he's Lord. He's the Christ. And this is life. You do not belong to yourself anymore. Do you know that? God bought you with a price. And don't take back your life because it doesn't belong to you. When you gave yourself to him, it was free, as Dave reminded me, but it's going to cost you your life. And as you give up your life to him and you obey him, you're his children, but he is Lord. And the Lord dwells within you. And I want to just say to you, the Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. But I want to tell you, the person who lives inside of you is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, set Christ apart in your heart as Lord. And I'm asking you to obey him. And that's grace. He is gentle. He is kind. He is loving. But yet he is Lord. Get to know this incredible God that loves us. That sacrifice of love on the cross was incredible. I don't understand it. He died for all of mankind. My destiny and your destiny was hell. You know that. We meant to go to hell. We don't deserve what we are getting. None of us deserve this. That's why it's a free gift. And just the ease of to say that you need to believe. But let me say, when you do that, understand what's actually taken place. Understand what God has actually done. And then obey him and dwell in him. So, You don't need me to come and tell you what to do, but you do need the Lord to tell you what to do, and we need one another as we encourage one another. But I'm asking you, in the outworking of his church, his body, this is, you belong to him, you don't belong to me, you don't belong to the elders, you belong to God. Do what he tells you. You see, it's not ticking the box off. I come to church every Sunday and I go to prayer meeting and I go to life group. I'm pleasing God. That's not pleasing God at all. Pleasing God is when you work together and say, Lord, do you want me at the prayer meeting? And you sense yes. Okay, I'm going to be there. We've got many excuses, and you know, one day you're going to have no excuses before God. And I'm not your judge. And if you might think I am, I'm not. And if you felt that I've judged you, please forgive me, because I'm not judging you. I love you. I want the very best for you. But I do want you to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to do what he's telling you to do. You do not belong to me. I'm one of you. You don't serve me. You work together with me, but you serve the living God. And I work together with you. I am, in a sense, on the sideline coaching you to serve him and to love him. And out of that, to do this together, I love the Lord and I love you and I want the very best for you. And I want to tell you, I'm giving you a secret today that you've never heard before. But find the living Christ that dwells within you. Don't get into religion, into the law, but get into grace. It's a free gift. Grace is a person. Learn to obey him. This is the New Testament church. When you are serving Jesus, the living Christ within you, and you are, and we all doing it together, that is the New Testament church. It's not this building. It's us. And as we live it, not just here on Sunday morning, but when we leave out here and we go and be with our families, and we go and do, and we live life, the Lord is in you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is your helper. He's your great reward. He's the great I am. And I really want to encourage you, let's find the living Christ and walk in his grace It's what belongs to us. You know, grace will be lifted one day, and there won't be an opportunity to call upon the name of Jesus, and it may be past our lifetime, but there's a time when it's coming, it's over. And those that never called upon the name of the Lord cannot be saved. And God wants us saved, and see this incredible blessing. It's a revelation. I was just saying, I've been walking, and this is just to honor the Lord. I've been walking with the Lord 46 years now. I still don't know him. I know in him, but I don't know him. And I want to say it's a journey, this finding this living Christ that dwells within us. And just thank God he wants to reveal himself to us. But please take this message, work it out in your life, and then preach it to others. Set them free. Set them free of knowing the living Christ. Do we have a deal? Amen. Let me pray for you. And I'm going to hand over to Dave. Lord, this is on your heart. You love us. What you provided for us to bring us under your grace and the living reality of you dwelling inside of us. I pray, Lord, this will not just be knowledge, but this will be transformation, revelation. That, Lord, our lives will be changed as we've left today, being under your word and the preaching of your word. As we go out, Lord, may our lives never be the same again. And as we come under your lordship, as you dwell inside of us, you know all things, Lord, and you work your life in and through us. So I just give you your people, and Lord, will you work this incredible miracle of the finished work of the cross, your grace, the goodness of that completed work, the new covenant. Take us deeper, Holy Spirit. Teach us Christ. Teach us the ways of Christ. Teach us the fullness of Christ. And may every one of us, as we start this journey, begin to express you, Lord, more and more. May you be our lives. May you live your life through us. And may we be pleasing to you, Father, through Christ in us. We ask this for this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.